And good morning. This is Noongar Radio and it is Health Matters today, hosted by myself, Jeff Michael. And today we're going to be talking about blood-borne viruses. Well, the Department of Health has recently released an advertising campaign which aims to reduce blood-borne virus rates in Aboriginal people. The campaign aims to raise awareness about prevention, testing and treatment options among Aboriginal people at risk of blood-borne viruses. The campaign uses key messages such as look after your blood and never share needles to help reduce the rate of HIV and hepatitis C in the Aboriginal population. People with blood-borne viruses often look and feel healthy, so encouraging people at risk to get tested is a key factor in reducing BBVs. New diagnoses of hepatitis C have been gradually increasing in the Aboriginal population across Australia over the past 5 years, most commonly in 20 to 49-year-olds. The proportion of newly diagnosed HIV infections in Australia attributed to injecting drug use was also much higher in Aboriginal people than non-Aboriginal people. It is vital to increase awareness among Aboriginal people that by sharing injecting equipment such as needles, they can make themselves sick and this can impact on their communities. Treatments with few side effects are now available through the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme and provide a cure for 95% of people with chronic hepatitis C. Highly effective treatments are also available for people living with HIV. And the campaign was developed in consultation with Aboriginal health workers and leaders from regional and metropolitan areas to ensure it resonated with Aboriginal people. And to tell us all about it, joining us in the studio, we have three experts, and I'd like to introduce, I suppose, on my right, which is to the right of your radio at home, joining us, who do I have on mic number three?
Kaya, Jeff, my name's Daniel. I work with the Department of Health, particularly in the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program, and I look after the Aboriginal portfolio.
Okay, and in the middle?
My name's Kevin Winder. I'm the Needle and Syringe Exchange Program Coordinator for WASIWA, for the Perth Fix Site at 7 Aberdeen Street, and for our Bunbury Fix Site at 97 Spencer Street.
And finally,
Fiona, I'm the Aboriginal Community Engagement Worker at WASIWA.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for joining us today. And, yeah, tell us about WASIWA. Did I get it right?
Yes, WASIWA is the WA Substance Users Association. So we operate services both in the metro area, as I say, Unit 22 at 7 Aberdeen Street, where we operate a needle and syringe exchange program and a sexual health clinic, where we do bloodborne virus testing, sexual health checks, vaccinations for hepatitis B. And more recently, we are providing the new Hep C treatments from a community-based model through our clinic at 7 Aberdeen Street there.
Yeah, and yeah, tell us about some of the key messages.
So for WASIWA, in terms of safer injecting and harm reduction, so we're a harm reduction agency, and through the needle exchange we promote safer injecting and tried to put out key messages around never sharing needles, getting tested regularly on a yearly basis, looking after your blood, making people aware that sharing needles increases their risk of bloodborne virus, but also making them aware that they may not show signs and symptoms, so it's important to get checked, and that there are a few side effects with the new Hep C treatments. So previously people have been put off the Hep C treatments because they were invasive, and the new treatments have got a much higher success rate, and they're less invasive and tablet form as opposed to injectables. And we try to engage with Aboriginal consumers through the Aboriginal Community Engagement Program, for which Fiona's responsible for.
And Fiona, perhaps can we bring it in here? Yeah, tell us a little bit about this advertising campaign that we will hear a little bit later on here on Health Matters.
Well, that's actually part of the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Programme. Yeah. Daniel's probably best placed to speak to that one.
Yeah, well, I guess it could have, it sort of came out because we were starting to see rising rates of bloodborne viruses like hepatitis C and HIV among Aboriginal Western Australians. So last year there were about 250 Aboriginal people in WA that were diagnosed with hepatitis C. And historically we haven't seen sort of larger numbers of HIV cases in the Aboriginal population here. So in 2012 and 2013, the Department of Health didn't get any notifications of HIV in Aboriginal people. But we're starting to see a shift in that. So in 2014, we saw 3 Aboriginal cases, and last year we saw 6 Aboriginal people that were diagnosed with HIV. And so while those numbers are still fairly small, we want to really work hard to sort of keep them that way. And if you look at a country like Canada, which has really similar experiences in terms of colonisation and dispossession, a fairly sort of similar proportion of Aboriginal people living there, a fairly similar geography to Western Australia. In Canada, there are about 7,000 Aboriginal people that are living with HIV at the moment, and just short of half of those acquired the infection by sharing injecting equipment when they were using drugs. And obviously, we don't want to see a similar pattern emerging in Western Australia. So when the Department of Health asked Aboriginal organisations and other stakeholders what they wanted us to do to try to prevent Aboriginal people from getting HIV and hepatitis C, we were told we needed to develop a campaign to try to increase community awareness. So WA Health went off and worked in partnership with Aboriginal health professionals and young Aboriginal people to make sure the campaign was something that was culturally appropriate and you know, was going to resonate with the audience. So people might have seen the ads they're screening on Win and Galari TV, and some of your listeners might have heard it on Noongar Radio or seen it pop up in their Facebook feed. And the main messages are really, look after your blood, don't share needles if you inject drugs, and go and get yourself tested if you think you might be at risk.
Yeah, and this is Health Matters. Might take a quick break and we'll be back with more here on Health Matters on Noongar Radio.
More and more of our mob are getting HIV and hepatitis C. This can have a big effect on the individual, the family and the community.
If people inject drugs and share needles, they put themselves at risk. I watched my own father die from hepatitis C.
If you've ever injected drugs, go to see your doctor or your health clinic for an HIV and hepatitis C test. Treatments are available.
Come on, look after your blood. Never share needles.
Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Station Sports.
Hi, Mob. This is Natasha Eldridge and you're listening to Noongar Radio.
there, Mimi, and this is Health Matters, coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio in Perth. And today we're talking about bloodborne viruses here on Health Matters. And going to put this question to Kevin. Now, a main message of the advertising campaign is to never share needles if you inject drugs. Is injecting drug use an issue or a big issue in the Aboriginal community?
Well, certainly Fiona is best placed to talk about the work that she does through the Aboriginal Community Engagement Program, but as a service as a whole, WASUA sees around 12,000 client interactions per year, and we distribute around 1.85 million pieces of injecting equipment per year to those client interactions. Approximately 6% of those interactions, so around 700 interactions a year, are with Aboriginal consumers. And at our new premises at 7 Aberdeen Street, WASU has seen an increase in interactions with Aboriginal consumers, because there's quite a large street-based population around the new location that's made up of a high proportion of Aboriginal people that are now starting to access our services. And Fiona engages people through outreach and sees some of the issues that they face and the reasons why they face those issues. So, and I know that Fiona often feeds back to us that the issues that she sees with Aboriginal people are around them not wanting to carry injecting equipment with them, keeping the fit packs that they get from needle and syringe programs on their person. A big issue is around being stopped by the police, and so that makes them fear having that equipment on them, and also it's illegal to carry the equipment on public transport. So for those people whose main method of transport is public transport, that's a huge issue for them. And also we know that groups of Aboriginal people will kind of chuck in money to buy their drugs, which can often lead to them sharing and reusing equipment, as a result of sharing the substance.
Yeah, Paul, can you explain what can happen if people share injecting equipment?
So Paul DeSauer is our outreach coordinator, and he was supposed to come today, but I've stepped in for him, so he coordinates the Aboriginal Community Engagement Program. However, when it comes to what can happen if people share injecting equipment, people are at risk of bacterial infections, but also from bloodborne virus, such as HIV and hepatitis C. A person's blood can stay on the equipment even if you can't see it, and so the viruses can enter your own body, and potentially you could contract a bloodborne virus. It's often there are no signs that that's the case, and it's impossible to know if someone's got HIV or Hep C just by looking at them. So it's really important that people who do inject drugs use sterile equipment, and one of the key messages that we put out there is to never reuse, and also to never share. That's one of the key messages that we put out to the community, because of the risk of transmission of HIV and hepatitis C. It's not just the injecting equipment, so the needle and the syringe, that you should avoid sharing, but also the other paraphernalia such as spoons, filters, those kinds of things you shouldn't share either. Water, tourniquets, even a tourniquet can get a spot of blood on it, which puts you at risk of transmission as well. It's important to remember that there's other ways that blood can be passed, so that includes tattooing, piercing, sharing razors, letting other people's blood get into your blood during, say, physical sports, sexual activity.
Well, where can people go to get sterile needles?
There's a really good provision in WA of needle and syringe programs. There's 128 needle and syringe programs the last time I checked, and those are predominantly remote and regional hospitals that hand out fit packs. So that's a small pack of injecting equipment that all hospitals are required to distribute outside of pharmacy hours. And so on top of the 128 needle and syringe programs, people can also access equipment from pharmacies, but there is a cost to that equipment. In the metro area and in the southwest, WASUA provides a needle and syringe exchange program. And so we actually take people's equipment back and give them another one for free. So we stock a much more diverse range of equipment to meet the needs of all drug users. And there are other needle and syringe programs in the metro area, but also another needle and syringe exchange program that's operated by the AIDS Council. And they also have a mobile service that goes out into the suburbs. And likewise, WASUA has a mobile service in the southwest that goes out to remote areas that otherwise, where people otherwise wouldn't be able to access our fixed site services. And then we also take the equipment out to people through outreach, which is the work that the Aboriginal Community Engagement Program does. So there's a really good access to injecting equipment in WA. And the main needle and syringe programs in the city, in the metro area, would be Derbal Yerrigan and Hepatitis WA, both in Northbridge.
Yeah. And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. And we'll take another musical break and we'll be back with more here on Health Matters.
Yeah. More and more of our mob are getting HIV and hepatitis C. This can have a big effect on the individual, the family and the community.
If people inject drugs and share needles, they put themselves at risk. I watched my own father die from hepatitis C.
If you've ever injected drugs, go to see your doctor or your health clinic for an HIV and hepatitis C test. Treatments are available.
Come on, look after your blood. Never share needles.
Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Station sponsor.
And this is Health Matters coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. And you've got me, Jeff Michael, here. And joining me in the studio is three experts in their field. And Fiona, firstly, can you reintroduce yourself in case of people who have just switched on and wondering, who's this? Who's this Fiona?
I'm the Aboriginal Community Engagement Worker at WASUA. I provide an outreach service to Aboriginal people who inject drugs, but I also can, like, help with any other issues that they might be experiencing, like housing or referral to welfare agencies and that, to try to make myself as useful as possible.
Yeah, so, yeah, is that kind of like related to all the community engagement work there that WASUA does?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, Kevin, can you reintroduce yourself again, Jason?
Yep. My name's Kevin Winder. I'm the needle and syringe exchange program coordinator for WASUA, our fixed site location at 22, Unit 22, 7 Aberdeen Street in Perth. We've just moved there. And also down at 97 Spencer Street in Bunbury.
Yep. Now, Kevin, some people think that by giving people clean needles and syringes, you are condoning or encouraging drug use. What do you say to that?
Well, one of the ways that we address drug and alcohol issues in Australia is through harm minimisation, which is in the National Drug Strategy. One aspect of harm minimisation is around harm reduction. So that's where the needle and syringe exchange programs, peer education, overdose prevention and management comes in. Harm reduction doesn't say go and use drugs. It doesn't condone drug use or leave out abstinence as an option. And we can refer our consumers to treatment and other referral services. Needle and syringe programs are established in areas where injecting drug use is already occurring. So no studies ever found that the introduction of a needle and syringe program contributed to increased levels of injecting drug use. In fact, studies have reported decreases in drug use following the introduction of needle and syringe programs.
And yeah, can you tell us what is the evidence around the effectiveness of these needle and syringe programs?
Well, there's been a lot of research done into that, Jeff, around the effectiveness of NSPs and the return on the investment into needle and syringe programs. Needle and syringe programs have prevented tens of thousands of cases of HIV and Hep C infection among people who inject drugs, and in turn that protects the wider community. What the return on investment study told us was that for every dollar that is spent on needle and syringe programs, the community as a whole saves 27, which is a huge cost saving to the community, and a great return on the investment in terms of needle and syringe programs and their effectiveness.
And Fiona, what message would you give to people who have shared injecting equipment in the past?
Well, I'd encourage them to come in and see our nurse and get tested. It's a free and confidential service. You don't even have to give your family name. So, yeah, I would encourage them to do that.
Like Fiona says, you know, the clinic at WASUA, it's free, it's confidential, it's non-judgmental, and our new clinic at 7 Aberdeen Street is fantastic, and people can come in and get tested, they can get vaccinated for hepatitis B, and also be tested for other sexually transmitted infections. But like I say, most excitingly is the fact that we're able to access treatment for our consumers through our clinic, so people that have Hep C, that are living with Hep C, can access those new treatments through our clinic at 7 Aberdeen Street.
What are some of the, Yes. Now, what are some of the symptoms of blood-borne viruses?
Well, that's a good question, Jeff. And the answer really is that often there are no symptoms. So we kind of avoid talking about the signs and symptoms because it can take a very long time for you to start to show symptoms. And often people don't relate to those symptoms and so avoid getting tested because they're not experiencing symptoms. What we'd recommend is that people get tested regularly, yearly, in their yearly health checks. And like I say, come and get tested at WASUA. Whether you have symptoms or not, it's really important to keep getting checked, keep getting tested. There are excellent treatments out there that are available now, particularly in terms of Hep C. A 90% cure rate, less invasive treatments. Key message is about getting tested regularly, whether you have symptoms or not.
Hey, this is Health Matters, come to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. We'll take another quick music break. Let's go back to the early 70s, Edison Lighthouse.
Getting HIV and hepatitis C. This can have a big effect on the individual, the family, and the community.
If people inject drugs and share needles, they put themselves at risk. I watched my own father die from hepatitis C.
If you've ever injected drugs, go to see your doctor or your health clinic for an HIV and hepatitis C test. Treatments are available.
Come on, look after your blood. Never share needles.
Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Station sponsor.
And this is Health Matters coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. And you've got me, Jeff Michael, here. And joining us in the studios, three special guests talking today about blood-borne viruses. And I suppose one big question that people would often have, and that is confidentiality. Do they get their details released to anyone, or what happens there if they go into these places there that we have been mentioning? What What happens?
Well, Jeff, your listeners might have picked up on the fact that we haven't shared stories about individual cases that we've worked on with Aboriginal consumers. And the reason for that is that we adhere to really strict confidentiality policies. And we don't share information about individual consumers within the organisation unless it's necessary. And so the work that Fiona does is very much contained between herself and Paul as her coordinator. And in order to start to share some of those stories would mean breaching the confidence of people who have felt an implied trust that exists when people access our service, and it means that they're very open about their drug use, the way that they use drugs, how much they're using, and then for us to then share those stories would potentially be a barrier to people accessing that service, and certainly people who use Fiona's services would lose confidence if Fiona was to then share their stories in an open forum like this, for example. So aside from that aspect of confidentiality, also in the clinic that we operate, where people can get tested for bloodborne viruses, access treatments for Hep C down at 7 Aberdeen Street at Wattiewa, that there is really strict confidentiality that exists with the nurses' service, and so we don't share information about people that access the clinic. That information is entirely confidential between the nurse and the patient.
And people don't have to give their name if they don't want to.
Absolutely. Well. We don't take names. We don't keep contact details of people, except for in the clinic where they can give any name, just so that we can refer to them as something, but it's entirely confidential, and people can access the service non-judgmentally and confidentially.
I suppose going back a little bit now, say if someone has started to get themselves checked out for a bloodborne virus and the test comes back positive, what happens next? What happens after that?
So, not being a clinician, it's difficult to talk about the treatments in any sort of detail. However, the treatments that are available now are extremely good. People now live with HIV. It's not seen as a death sentence anymore. And the new treatments for hepatitis C have proven to be so effective. Like I say, a 90% success rate at curing hepatitis C. And those treatments are available through our clinic. And if somebody accesses the clinic and they do have a positive result to HIV or Hep C test, then they would be supported in accessing treatment and engaging with treatment services. But a lot of the stuff that we do happens in-house in the clinic down at 7 Aberdeen Street. The nurse can access the treatments there. The treatments are dispensed from Wattiewa. And so the majority of the service is contained within Wattiewa. The exception would be an HIV result where we would have to refer to immunology for them to access treatment. But it would be with support, and no information about any consumer would be shared without their permission. And so in terms of accessing treatments, we go through all of that with people, what happens if you do get a positive result. But the important message is to get tested regularly, because you may not know that you have HIV or hepatitis C. There may be no symptoms. And so it's important to get checked on a regular, yearly basis.
Yeah. And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio, coming to you from the studios here at Noongar Radio here in Perth. And today we're talking about bloodborne viruses here on Health Matters. That was Hari Bundu, The Look of a Thousand Kisses. And you got me, Jeff Michael, here on Health Matters, and joining us in the studio, three guests, and one of them, Fiona. Now, what can people do if they want to stop using drugs?
Well, I've got a degree in counselling, so that's helpful at times, and I can also support them, refer them to other treatment agencies such as ADD, the detox centre in Northbridge, East Perth, sorry. Yeah, and
there's lots of referrals that we make for people that want to address their drug issues. We're not an abstinence or reduction-based service. We're the only one that isn't. So there's lots of other services that we can refer on to for that. And a great resource for us is the Alcohol and Drug Support Line. That's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline that provides telephone counselling, can refer into face-to-face counselling, and also into treatment and referral options. So that's a really good option for us. And also for parents and families of people with drug issues, there's also the Parent and Family Drug Support Line. And again, that's a confidential service that provides advice and support for family members 24 hours a day. The number for the Alcohol and Drug Support Line, which anybody can make contact with, is 9442 5000. And for the Parent and Family Drug Support Line, the contact number is 9442 5050.
Important numbers there to remember. And I suppose if people have just switched on and they're listening to us talking about this topic, perhaps can we go back a bit and remind listeners of what some of the main things we need to be wary of with?
So the key things are, first of all, in relation to blood-borne viruses, HIV, hepatitis C, get tested regularly, get tested on a yearly basis. You may not have symptoms. Be blood aware, never share needles. Sharing needles increases your risk of blood-borne virus. There's no shame, there's no blame in accessing testing or treatment. And the new Hep C treatments are fantastic. And so for people that are living with Hep C, now is the time to access treatment. And as I say, you can access treatment through our clinic at Wattua at 7 Aberdeen Street.
And if Fiona, would you have anything else to add to what Kevin's been saying?
No, not really.
I think the key thing is that whether it's Aboriginal communities or any communities, those key messages are the same. It's not specific to Aboriginal people, those key messages. But the key thing for Aboriginal people, as we said before, you know, around confidentiality, fear of being caught with the equipment on them, is that there is no shame, there is no blame, and they can access our services confidentially and non-judgmentally.
We'll take a quick break.
More and more of our mob are getting HIV and hepatitis C. This can have a big effect on the individual, the family, and the community.
If people inject drugs and share needles, they put themselves at risk. I watched my own father die from hepatitis C.
If you've ever injected drugs, go to see your doctor or your health clinic for an HIV and hepatitis C test. Treatments are available.
Come on, look after your blood. Never share needles.
Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Station sponsor.
This is Danny Green.
on a night out just like this. Take it from me. One punch can be deadly. Thrown in anger, without warning, without gloves, it can kill. One punch can end their life and ruin yours. It takes grunt to throw it. It takes guts to walk away. One punch can be deadly.
Authorised and spoken by Danny Green, Perth.
This is a community service announcement from Noongar Radio.
Here on Noongar Radio, and you've got me, Jeff Michael, here, and today we're talking about blood-borne viruses with our special guests. And I suppose one big issue would be people sharing equipment. Tell us a bit more there, Kevin.
Well, the important thing around sharing equipment is that you have a high risk of contracting HIV or hepatitis C, because a person's blood can stay on the equipment even if you can't see it, and then the virus can enter your own body and give you HIV or hepatitis C. Now, that message goes out to our consumers loud and clear, and people tend to know that, although the issues are around people using in groups and thinking that it's okay to be able to share equipment.
Can I also add to given that our needles and that are free, like they don't cost any money, we do a one-for-one exchange. So, yeah, it's not going to cost people money either to come and give us a ring or come in and see us.
And where's that again, Fiona?
7 Aberdeen Street in East Perth, Unit 22.
Yeah. 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 And the thing around sharing as well is that it's not just the needles and syringes. So as much as we get that message out there about not sharing needles and syringes, and that's really important, but it's also the other equipment that people tend to not think about. So tourniquets, waters, spoons, other paraphernalia that's used to inject drugs, filters, swabs. And so it's really important to remember that also that there's other ways that blood can be passed from one person to another. Such as tattooing, piercings, sharing toothbrushes, razors, and letting other people's blood get into your blood, say through physical sports.
Yeah, I suppose that's one interesting one as well there, tattooing.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and so basically the message is, would be to get new needles.
Absolutely, and as Fiona says, we operate a one-for-one exchange, but we'll never let anybody leave without the equipment that they need. So even if they don't have equipment to exchange, we'll still make sure that they have the equipment that they need to use so that they don't have to share, so that they don't have to reuse, and they can access that equipment at our fixed site needle and syringe exchange program, as Fiona says, at Unit 22, 7 Aberdeen Street.
Yeah, and as we come up to the close of the program, any final message want to get across to everyone listening?
The main thing is around bloodborne virus, getting tested on a yearly basis, never sharing equipment, and I suppose where to get equipment. So in the Perth metro area, there are other services that are available for people to access equipment. You've got the AIDS Council on with a fixed site on Murray Street, and in Fremantle on Queen Street. And then there's Derbal Yerrigan in Northbridge and also HEPWA. But WASU provides a really diverse, comprehensive service, and we have our health clinic where we do testing for bloodborne virus, vaccinations for hepatitis B, sexual health checks, and also most importantly, most excitingly, is that people can access the new Hep C treatments through our clinic. And then obviously Fiona operates the Aboriginal Community Engagement Program, so Fiona will support Aboriginal people that want to access our services, and anybody can access our services. They're free to the consumer, user-friendly, non-judgmental, and our services operate out of 7 Aberdeen Street, Unit 22 there, just behind MacIver Station. You can telephone us on 08 9325 8387, or you can visit our website at www.wasua.com.au. WASUA is WASUA. And you can email us at info@wasua.com.au for more information regarding needle and syringe exchange programs, safer injecting, harm reduction, the clinic, and how to prevent the spread of bloodborne virus.
Kevin, can I just also add that we're open on the weekends too?
7 days
yeah.
a week.
Yeah, 7 days.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us. And of course, you can also go to healthywa.wa.gov.au for more info about bloodborne viruses. Well, thank you all for joining us today.
No worries,
here in the studios here at Noongar Radio. And Health Matters will be back again in about a fortnight's time, so don't go too far away from your radios. Again, thank you very much for joining us today here at Noongar Radio.
Thanks, Jeff.
And thank you for choosing Noongar Radio for Health Matters for today.